Hello, world, and welcome to the Shannon Joy Show. We're broadcasting from the Joy Virtual Studio right here in the beautiful Finger Lakes region of New York State. It's so good to be with all of you today. It is Friday. Thank you, Jesus. And as you know, Friday is like a box of chocolates on the Shannon Joy Show. You never know what you're going to get. And today we get Dr. Peter McCullough. I know that I have been promoting my discussion with Dr. McCullough for Thursday. We had a little glitch in the scheduling. Thank you so much, Dr. McCullough, for joining us today on Friday. So good to see you from sunny Florida. We have so much to talk about today. How are you doing?
Doing great. I'm actually on site here with the wellness company. We were on set shooting, so we had a conflict, but it's great to be back on the Shannon Joy Show. So much to cover today.
Absolutely. Well, the audience, you are an audience favorite, and you are America's doctor. I heard somewhere that you have the largest social media following of any practicing doctor. Is it in America or the world?
I think it's in the world. And, I can tell you, when I first testified in the U.S. Senate, Senator Ron Johnson asked me, this is in 2020, what's my social media strategy? And I said, what's social media? I had never been on social media. And he really, encouraged me that I need to get active, because he's right that it's the only way people rapidly learn things. So an independent media like your show is, one of the few unbiased places to get information.
Yeah, great post on your Twitter account. By the way, Dr. Peter McCullough, you can follow him on Twitter. His Substack is Courageous Discourse. You can also grab his book, The Courage to Face COVID-19 as well. It's available basically everywhere. But I noticed on your Twitter account, you had mentioned there's a picture of you and Dave Rubin and Dr. Drew. You guys are podcasting. You're doing the independent thing. And you stated independent media is hot. Mainstream media is not. It is the future. And, Rumble, for example, where we're broadcasting today, it is the flagship online platform for the Shannon Joy Show, just recently getting, kicked out of Russia, getting slapped with censorship in places like New Zealand. Independent media is so important right now. You're a part of independent media, in addition to being a medical doctor and seeing patients and being an expert witness and testifying across the country on these issues of COVID-19 vaccine injury. You're also part of that independent media. What do you think about that censorship effort that continues to this day relentlessly?
It's going to be an epic battle. We have something coming up here, a Supreme Court decision in a few weeks on Missouri versus Biden. Remember, Missouri versus Biden, that's the case of should the government be in social media censorship? I listened to comments from Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown. And I have to tell you, I have a feeling it's going to be decided in favor of Biden. I think we're going to see a crushing hand of censorship in big time social media. We're talking Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And you know what we're going to be looking at is true independent media, media that actually is available through a variety of platforms. I have a radio show on America Out Loud Talk Radio, McCullough Report. And I've talked to Malcolm Out Loud. I said, Malcolm, you have to be ready for Missouri versus Biden to be lost in terms of freedom of speech. And I told Malcolm, you better be ready with your response to what happens when government agents come to your door and start to say, we don't like what you're saying. So this is going to be an epic struggle. I know you've been big on this, and I have as well. We do public programs. We've done big public programs, and we say, listen, try to censor this.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. I think that the strategy for me has been it's a buckshot strategy. It is to be everywhere. I'm on AM talk radio. I'm on Rumble, Twitter, Spreely, Roku. I have different platforms. We're just about to start broadcasting the Shannon Joy Show from my own secure website. So theshannonjoy.com. But again, I mean, we do need to be prepared for this. And I think we will have strength. We will have strength in numbers. There will be an opportunity. I think of these independent media platforms stay together. We keep meeting, supporting each other, and rolling out good information. I think that we can certainly weather this storm. But it's going to be a tough one, especially considering the fact that the wheels are falling off the COVID-19 vaccine jalopy, and they're falling off fast. So let's start here with you, because I had to have you into the Joy Virtual Studio. Over the last 2 weeks, quite frankly, astounding. From the National Academies of Science to the New York Times to the Cuomo brothers to AstraZeneca pulling their vaccine, admitting that their COVID-19 vaccine causes blood clots, now suspending in Netherlands, Ireland, Iceland, Bulgaria, Denmark, and Norway, right? It seems as if every day, every 24-hour cycle, there is a new shoe to drop in the acknowledgement that you and the medical freedom movement, in so many ways, were right about almost everything. How are you dealing with all of this news? It's coming out pretty fast, but what are your thoughts?
I tell you, the word that comes to mind is capitulation. Mm-hmm. That's what we're seeing. Everything from the FDA capitulating and taking down their false claims on ivermectin. Right. You mentioned, you know, the National Academy of Sciences in Medicine and Engineering, which said, yeah, there are problems with the COVID vaccine, and they largely based it on the Global Vaccine Data Safety Network, which was a 99 million patient study, and it only looked at 6 weeks after the vaccines, and they saw, you know, terrible safety signals for heart damage and all these other problems. Can you imagine them seeing the whole window that I'm seeing in clinical practice? Because people are having problems, and people listening to the show know this, years after the shots. And then we come down to Chris Cuomo. We have a book by, we have a chapter in our book, actually, Shannon, Courage to Face COVID-19. It's chapter 11, and the title of it is Cuomo Sexuals. Yes, and it's actually about Andrew Cuomo. He's the older brother, former governor of New York, and his disastrous policy about returning sick nursing home patients to the nursing home during 2020, getting more patients sick, untold numbers of deaths, and then this kind of cover up that, you know, he had sexual affairs, and he quickly, there's some type of sexual allegations, whatever. This is after he wins an Emmy Award for these command and control COVID briefings. They get him off stage, and at the same time, they yank his brother, Chris Cuomo. Then shortly after that, Chris's partner, Don Lemon, they get yanked. So Chris, you know, Chris had COVID early. It made a big deal out of it. He had long COVID syndrome. He's kind of a big, strong guy. He's an attorney. Most people would say he's pretty narcissistic, probably the case. And, you know, he's pushing the vaccine, shaming people about the vaccine. And so he's on News Nation. He brings on a nurse, Sean Barclay, who's vaccine injured, and said, you know, I'm having these problems. And Chris is kind of listening to this. Chris says, I think I'm vaccine injured too. So this comes out, and then before you know it, he's on Patrick Bet-David's podcast down in, I've been on the show down at Infotainment. I've been with, I'm with Patrick Bet-David and Adam Sosnick, and he goes on Patrick's Bet-David, and then he displays it all right. Joe Rogan was right. We should have treated this. Ivermectin. So Chris just comes all out. And what I'm told about Chris is that he's an interesting guy, but once he gets on a topic, he's like a bulldog. He won't let it go. So, you know, believe it or not, Chris coming over to Team Freedom may be big news.
Well, I don't know if I'm ready to allow him on Team Freedom yet based on what he did. But I mean, he really was. He was one of the most vicious attackers of anyone in the medical freedom movement, calling us anti-vaxxers. He called, you know, he said that horse dewormer peddlers should be shamed and named. I mean, he was absolutely vicious. Then admits that he's on a full course of regular ivermectin on PBD, which was astounding. I'm still holding out. This to me looks like a limited hangout. Jeffrey Tucker and I talked about this on Monday. When the establishment loses control of the narrative, they have to acknowledge it, but they want to do it in a way that they can control. And so I'm not totally sure about Chris Cuomo. I look at it as a huge win, though. This is proof that the medical freedom movement, with you at the helm and many other freedom fighting doctors at the helm, is pushing so far into the mainstream media and so relentlessly pushing the truth that it is waking up enough people so that they have no choice. They have to admit what is right in front of our eyes. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing with this this latest round. You know, Andrew Cuomo is on with Lena Wen, and they're also talking about, they're walking back the lockdown, saying, well, we didn't force them, right? We didn't enforce them. We, you know, people, it was always voluntary, which is a complete lie. Okay. And I addressed that yesterday on the program, but yeah, pretty fascinating 180s that we're seeing. And I think we're going to continue to see them more and more. What are your thoughts on AstraZeneca pulling the vaccine nationwide, right? Admitting that the vaccines cause blood clots.
Oh boy, this is big news. Now, recall that AstraZeneca is the adenoviral vector vaccine. So it's not messenger RNA, but it's still a genetic vaccine where a genetically modified segment is inserted to an adenovirus replication incompetent virus. But people get loaded with the spike protein. It's nearly identical to the Janssen vaccine. In fact, Janssen, you know, Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca are made by the same biodefense contractor, Emergent BioSolutions, outside of Baltimore. They're basically the same. Now, AstraZeneca never got on the market in the United States. It was thought that it, you know, wasn't going to be safe enough. It's interesting. Never made it on the market. It was used in the UK, Europe. It was Covishield in India. Reports came out that it caused a unique syndrome called VITT, vaccine-induced thrombotic thrombocytopenic purpura. It induced antiplatelet factor 4 antibodies that pinned platelets to the vessel wall. It caused blood clots in the brain, central venous cavernous thrombosis. Well, this all came to a head where dozens of families and victims, plaintiffs in the UK, mounted a lawsuit against AstraZeneca. And in the proceedings, AstraZeneca concedes that the vaccine causes blood clots. And then there was the public reaction to that. And then within a week, AstraZeneca says, we're taking it off global markets. Now, their excuse is, well, there's not enough demand for the vaccine.
I know.
Listen, the vaccine, Shannon, the vaccine is not commercially bought and sold. It's pre-purchased by governments. So the reason why they're pulling it off the market is not demand, it's safety. So this is big news, and it's capitulation. In the United States, we have Janssen off the market. Worldwide now, AstraZeneca off the market. And I tell you, it's been long overdue. Pull Pfizer, Moderna, and Novavax off and get this menace off of our neck.
Unbelievable. What do you think about the New York Times? How big a deal is the New York Times admission? They, in that story, and this is a bombshell, to the point where I want to get the actual paper. I want that physical paper, and I want to put it in my drawer and save it for posterity, right? Because that's how convinced I am that this is a major turning, that we're at the precipice of something that I think is very important. They admitting in black and white print, it's the paper record, thousands believe they have been vaccine injured. Now they couch it with believe, but this is the first time they've even acknowledged the potential of vaccine injury caused by COVID-19 vaccines. What are your thoughts?
Keep in mind how this was couched, because the New York Times story was almost identical to what former White House coronavirus director Ashish Jha said on national TV. So now the new narrative is that the vaccines saved millions of lives, but regrettably, some were injured.
Right.
And so, you know, so now it's changed. You know, I can tell you as a doctor and someone who's analyzed this carefully, the vaccines didn't save millions of lives.
Right.
You know, at best, they prevented some cases of COVID illness with the first round of vaccines, but they didn't stop hospitalizations and deaths. They never showed that in randomized trials. The consent form doesn't say it's going to save lives. You know, the people should look at that pretty carefully. And it certainly didn't stop transmission. The FDA comes out and, you know, admits that in the CDC in the summer of 2021. But the fact that there is a wholesale admission that the vaccines are causing side effects. Now, in the New York Times, I don't know if you saw this, Shannon, but people had the ability online to type in things. And as soon as this concession happened, there was a flood of comments. And you're going to see this. I don't know if you noticed on my show, I had Dr. Boz. Have you ever seen her before?
No.
Yeah, Dr. Bosworth. So she is a, you know, she's a shaker and mover in the medical field. She's an MD. And she's a promoter of the ketogenic diet, the keto diet. She's published on this, and she has a pretty big following. Well, she has a YouTube channel where she instructs people how to do the keto diet. She's always updating people. And on their YouTube channel, which is live, people have been submitting their comments. What do you think about the vaccines? And I've got a blood clot from the vaccines, what have you. And so finally, she reads a paper where I'm the senior author. First author is Mark Mead. This was the paper that got 330,000 views on the Springer Nature Journal Curious, and it was actually retracted against the medical ethics guidelines. It's now being republished, by the way, in a journal. She reads our paper, and then on the air live, she concedes. She goes, "Oh my gosh, I was wrong. I was wrong." She goes, "I took the vaccines. Everyone close to me took the vaccines. I promoted the vaccines." And now she looks in the camera. She tells her followers, "You were telling me for 2 years this vaccine wasn't safe, and I was ignoring you, and I apologize." We were stunned. I did a write-up on this, and I show the clip on my Substack, but then I invited her on my show. And you know what? I was so careful about this. I did not ask her about this concession. I just asked her about the ketogenic diet, and I've talked to some of my colleagues about how do we deal with doctors and public figures who now are awakening, and how do we bring them in the fold and not just slam them? I know your tendency for Chris
You know
Cuomo
me.
is to win. Like, how do we do this? And I don't know if you noticed, but I had this interview with Brian Shapiro on a Democratic channel. Did you see
Okay,
that?
I mean, you swatted that poor guy around. I mean, and he came out, he was so smug. He was so smug and so condescending, and you were so patient and like so measured, but you absolutely just schooled him. I mean, completely schooled him in that interaction. It was unbelievable. But I mean, what were your thoughts? I shared out the video. I mean, everyone was watching, was like, oh my gosh, this guy is so like he was being really kind of aggressive and smug and condescending. You handled it marvelously. I mean, it was, I mean, you seriously schooled him. But what were your thoughts? I was curious as to after that interaction, how you guys did, but what was his response?
The inside story is I had no idea who he was. I didn't even know the name of his station. I agreed to a lot of interviews. Yeah, I did not know. And so when he came out, and right away he goes, "Dr. McCullough, the vaccines have saved millions of lives, you're discouraging the use of the vaccine." And he goes on and on, and
Oh, yeah, he did.
he goes, "How can all the," he said, "How can all the doctors be wrong and you be right?" And I wasn't prepared for this type of thing. I was in the middle of the day, I had my white lab coat on, so I made it through the interview. But afterwards, if you've ever had a contentious interview, yeah, what happens is you think of the best answers after the fact,
I know.
right?
I know. Well, I thought
So,
you were great. I thought you were great.
anyhow, like for example, he says, "How can all the doctors be wrong and you be right?" And I said, "Well, this is how I'd answer it now. If it was 1859, Ignaz Semmelweis said doctors should wash their hands before they do pelvic exams on women, otherwise they're going to spread infection." He
Oh,
was right, and all the other doctors were wrong. And he was stripped. He was censored. He was, discredited for 20 years. He died in an insane asylum. So that's a great example. Another one, Adler in 1912, and then Rose and Hill in 1949 said smoking causes lung cancer. They presented all the data to the Medical Research Council of Britain. We go all the way from 1949 to 1964, and the Surgeon General of the United States says, "It looks like it causes lung cancer." And then finally to the tobacco settlement in 1998. Do you know doctors during this time were smoking? They
Unbelievable.
were advertising cigarettes, so were nurses. Time after time, it's not the mainstream medicine that's correct. It's actually the one making the first observation. Another example is actually Andrew Wakefield. 1998, he makes the seminal observation that vaccines given in combination creates an intestinal abnormality, an ileo intestinal lymphadenopathy, and then a behavioral disturbance that looks like, autism. He publishes it in Lancet in 1998. You know, it was up for 12 years, and then he's progressively stripped, and he's ultimately, the paper gets retracted. He actually loses everything. He was a surgeon at the Royal Free Hospital. He's now a filmmaker in Austin, Texas. And it turns out he made the seminal observation. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for this, but he has a new full featured film out called Protocol 7.
Ooh, no, he's been on the show before. He's the original, I have said, he is the original canceled doc. The first in this whole saga of vaccine injury and death, starting with the childhood schedule, his observation, and then the relentless assault by big pharma and establishment bureaucracies to crush and smash any voice that even questions the safety and efficacy of a particular vaccine. It started with the childhood schedule. A lot of us were in that arena, that battle prior to COVID-19. But I didn't know he had a new documentary out. That's fascinating. Protocol 7, you said?
Yeah, Protocol 7. He recently went on Sarah Gonzalez on The Blaze and introduced it.
Amazing.
And I was just on another show, actually, up in North Dakota, Ladies with Another View, and they showed a little a trailer of it. And what we've learned, it's about, believe it or not, it's about the mumps vaccine. So the mumps component of Merck's MMR, it was clear that the vaccine didn't work. And the executives internally told this young scientist to fudge the data.
Oh,
so
he
actually falsified the data for the MMR vaccine to get into use. It's now fully exposed by Andrew Wakefield. And Sarah Gonzalez asked him, you know, you've been stripped and discredited, you were alone. You know, what do you think about Dr. McCullough and the other doctors? And he said the nicest things. He said, it's gratifying that others now are coming to this realization. You know, what I've done with my scholarship is I went all the way back to the original smallpox vaccine. Mm. Turned out the smallpox vaccine was originally from the lymph of cows and pigs and horses, and it was injected into the arm back in the 1800s. I mean, for decades, it could not have been sterilized from staph, from strep, syphilis, or tetanus. People died with the smallpox vaccine. It didn't even work because you couldn't control the dose of whether or not you even had any cowpox virions in there. And this got so bad in the UK, it led to the Anti-Vaccination League. They put mothers in jail because they wouldn't have their kids vaccinated. Yeah, this happened. This went so far that I featured Dr. Alfred Wallace, Russell Wallace, who is considered the co-discoverer of natural selection with Darwin. He put out a treaty saying that this was essentially an entire fraud, that the smallpox vaccine didn't work. People got sick and died of secondary infections. He had 45 years of data. And it led to the UK finally saying, okay, we're not gonna force the vaccine. They had decades of forced mandatory vaccination to go to school, to do anything. They dropped the vaccines, and then promptly about 25% of people elected not to take it. And I thought that was interesting because we're at about 25% of Americans truly didn't take the COVID vaccine according to the COVID States program. Now, Ashish Jha, who was just on TV, the former White House coronavirus coordinator, he's the one who was the minority witness that faced me in the US Senate in 2020. Jha says that, 94% of Americans have taken the vaccine. He's using flawed CDC data, which overestimate the number of people take the shot because they're not keeping track of people losing their vaccine cards.
Oh, absolutely. I think that 25% number is pretty well established. That's fascinating history, Dr. McCullough. Well, even in the United States of America, we see a great book, The Virus and the Vaccine, also Ed Haslin's Dr. Mary's Monkey, which chronicles the early rollout of polio vaccines that were contaminated, disastrous first rollout of the polio vaccine that resulted in tens of thousands of children becoming very sick and ill, many of them dying. Then the second round contaminated with the SV40 simian monkey virus that was in the early 1960s. You then have tens of millions of young kids injected with that in the 1960s. And, you know, it's like one round after another of these disastrous rollouts of unsafe injections and a bureaucracy and an establishment that just never, ever fesses up to what went wrong. And the difference today, we're going to go to break in a moment, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about what's different today. Because here we see, never in the history of the world have we seen such an effort for mass global vaccination. Never in the world have we seen tens of millions, hundreds of millions of vaccines, billions deployed across the globe in such a short period of time. And the pushback has been vast, right? So now we have this medical freedom movement and we have a coalition and we have this 25% of the unvaccinated poised to battle this out and to maybe once and for all have this conversation on the public stage and have it out in the open. That's what we're pushing for. I want to ask you about what you think about what's on the horizon as we move forward in this battle. We're right in the middle of it. Today, guys, we're talking, of course, to the amazing Dr. Peter McCullough. He is America's doctor. He is still practicing, but a voice for the voiceless, a voice of truth, one of the warriors in the dark days of 220, 221 and the rollout of the vaccines. You can follow him on Twitter, of course. Follow him on Substack. The Substack is Courageous Discourse. You could also pick up his book, Courage to Face COVID-19, of course. When we come back, we're going to continue this discussion right here on the Shannon Joy Show. But before we go to break, I just want to give a shout out to our friends over at Colonial Metals Group. They are sponsors of the Shannon Joy Show, and we could not bring the show to you every day without Colonial Metals Group. You've met Paul Stone. He is the CEO of CMG. They are helping Americans plan for the next round of the attack, and that is the financial assault. It is the devaluation of our dollar. It is rampant inflation, high interest rates, as we see more and more banks and credit unions suffer. There is a way for you to protect your wealth. There is a way for you to protect your family's wealth, and that is investing in physical gold and silver or in gold and silver through your IRA or 401k. You can learn all about it by going to colonialmetalsgroup.org/joy. That's colonialmetalsgroup.org/joy. You can find out if you qualify for $10,000 of free silver or a free safe. They are an amazing company. We're so thankful for their support. And you can protect your family with gold. And so go to colonialmetalsgroup.com/joy today. We'll be back in a moment to continue this discussion with Dr. Peter McCullough. Welcome back, everyone, to the Shannon Joy Show. Dr. Peter McCullough joins us today on the program. After many years of very diligent work, Dr. McCullough, you were deplatformed, you were attacked, you were censored, your license was attacked, your profession, came after you for standing up and really being the tip of the spear. Behind you are thousands of medical doctors and scientists who now have the courage to face COVID-19 because of your leadership. And this is setting up a dynamic that I don't think existed in the 1960s with the contamination of the polio virus, didn't exist in the situations that you talked about with smallpox and in those vaccines. We're moving into this space where mainstream media and mainstream organizations are being forced to admit that this is happening, setting up this battle. What do you think is on the horizon in terms of getting these vaccines pulled from the market and then getting to justice? And you mentioned in the last segment, we don't want to go after viciously every doc or every person that comes around. The scales fall from their eyes. They realize they were wrong. We understand with Chris Cuomo, he's going through that process right now. But we do need to have justice, right? Like, I think that has to be a component of this. So, what are your thoughts on the next 18 months as everything comes to the fore and we have to now have these conversations? And, what are the prospects of getting these vaccines removed from the market?
Well, I think the first observation is on safety of the COVID vaccines, our concerns were justified. I mean, that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
And it's really hard when you've had a contentious issue and it turns out you're right. It's hard to you know, hold back this idea that, you know, I was right. And for instance, with Brian Shapiro, you know, he's an independent media person, very, very left wing. Yeah, I saw all these, you know, comments on Twitter. And, you know, they were saying, oh, Dr. McCullough, you know, really showed him something. But I was privately, I was messaging him. I said, Brian, you showed a lot of courage for having me on.
Yeah.
You know, I think Chris Cuomo, his next step, honestly, is to have me on. And that would be some real courage to go over this. Everyone did this with fear and trepidation. Remember Joe Rogan? He's been 2 years before he had me on.
Yeah.
And he was afraid. He was very fearful of what was going to happen.
Backlash.
So we're going to have people overcome their fear. Dr. Boz was obviously fearful. Other people, I think, more and more are going to come around. There was a pair of broadcasters in Minnesota recently. I don't know if you saw that, but they also, you know, had come into this reckoning. We're going to see more and more awakening. We have actually, for the first time, broadly seen one worldwide medical organization say, put a full halt on the childhood vaccine schedule. And that was the World Council for Health. They did that in September of 2023. They were really a first ever where we've had an international body say that. And, you know, the tipping point was putting the COVID vaccines on the childhood schedule, which simply is just not safe for
disaster.
Children.
Yeah.
Disaster. So what they pointed to five studies that show if children go natural, do not take any vaccines whatsoever, in today's modern world, a normal child, that child's going to be healthier and have a lower risk of multiple illnesses as a child than someone who takes all the vaccines, that the vaccines, in fact, do cause problems. And, you know, when I was born, you know, 3 to 5 shots. Now a child through age 18 is 108 shots. At one of the 1 to 2 year landmarks, there's 13 shots at once. And what we understand is that, you know, if a febrile seizure occurs, this has been well documented in the medical literature, there's about a 40% chance the child will be permanently neurologically damaged and most often develop autism after a febrile seizure. Yeah, that's shown. And the medical community is having the toughest times grappling this. I'll give you an example. I was down in Louisiana and I met a state representative, and she told me that there was proposed legislation that any child under age 1 who dies in that state unexplained, when the death goes to the medical examiner, the vaccine record must be presented to the medical examiner.
Wow.
And you know what? The medical examiners fought that. They didn't want it. They didn't want it. And what we've learned is about 50% of sudden infant deaths occur within about a week of taking a battery of these vaccines. So
they're going to fight like hell, Dr. McCullough, excuse my French, in big pharma to keep these vaccine schedules intact.
Shannon, it's bigger than big pharma. What I've uncovered is it's a religion among doctors. It's what we call vaccine ideology. This is a religious belief that the human body is vulnerable, and through modern medicine's brilliance, that our scientific brilliance can make the human body stronger. Doctors actually subscribe to this belief. In a sense, it's delusional. These are fixed false beliefs, and they can't possibly come to reconcile that vaccines could be harmful and not work. And as we weed through these, people have asked me where I am at. You know, I've taken all the vaccines. I didn't take the COVID vaccines, but my Lord, I've taken every vaccine on schedule, and I just never viewed them critically. But as I view them critically, you know, I really get nauseated. You mentioned the SV40 contamination of the polio vaccines. Well, you know, that was 1955 to 1963. That was me. I got almost certainly one of the contaminated IPV vaccines. I had actually taken the Sabin vaccine, which is the sugar cubes. That was the live vaccine. That one actually caused polio.
Yep.
So I took something that actually caused polio. But most of the time, polio, 99% of the time, it's asymptomatic. And then my mom was notified, oh, the vaccine you got didn't work. Come in and get the polio shots. So I was double vaccinated for polio. You know, I had the measles vaccine as a kid. I had mumps, but you know, later on I was given the MMR anyway. And then when I went to medical school, they checked my antibodies. They said, well, you don't have any antibodies, take another MMR. So I got another MMR for going to medical school. So listen, we've been over vaccinating people like crazy. And when we look back at asthma and peanut allergies and food allergies, allergic dermatitis, tympanostomy tubes, tonsillectomies, attention deficit disorder, Asperger's, autism spectrum disorder, believe it or not, they could have significantly been contributed to by mass vaccination.
You know, I had recently on the program, Marc Ardoux. He is from Paris, France, and he has a new book out about the bolus theory, which is about the injection site. Fascinating theory. I mean, fascinating theory. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, this is a uniquely 19th and 20th century phenomenon, the mass injection, the penetration of the skin, right? Our dermis is really our body's natural protection from environmental toxins. And here we have set up this religion of mass vaccination. And there are all sorts of mechanisms of harm that we can look to if you are injecting into the body. But do you know anything about that theory loosely? Mm-hmm. Because it really kind of blew my mind. I'm like, wow, this would explain so many chronic diseases. It would explain why COVID-19 vaccine injury does mimic some of the vaccine injury profiles that we've seen for the typicals throughout the years. What are your thoughts?
This is a stunning, really, development that's come out of scholarship by consultant Marc Giadot from France. I've had Marc on my show, and we've gone over it. And what we've uncovered is that, you know, when an injection is put into the muscle, you know, I've done this in my practice, we always pull back on the syringe to make sure that we're not in a blood vessel, typically a vein or a venule, occasionally an artery. But the practice for vaccination, particularly COVID vaccination, it was rushed. It was done at vaccine centers, not by doctors or even nurses in many cases, just, you know, non-qualified personnel. And they were told to just plunge it in, just don't pull back and plunge it in. And Mark's analysis is roughly 2.5% of people must have gotten an intravenous bolus of the vaccine. Now, this would explain people who had cardiac arrests right in the vaccine center.
Right.
And it happened. And what, you know, Pfizer, Moderna have polyethylene glycol, PEG. And about 60% of us have some mild sensitization to it, but some of us have, you know, really serious sensitization. Yeah. And remember, people couldn't opt out of this. They had to take the vaccines for their job. They were forced into it. And so I had on my show Harry Fisher. I don't know if you know who.
No, I've never heard of Harry Fisher.
Yeah. So Harry is a paramedic. You'll see him on Twitter. He's the most censored guy on Twitter. He's up in Alaska right now. He wears a thick cap. I was giving him a hard time. He goes, it's still cold up there. Anyhow, Harry went to so many cardiac arrests in the vaccine center. He told me the story of going out and doing these resuscitations. And there's one scene, he actually wrote an essay where he's doing CPR and he looks over his shoulder and there's a line of people and they're watching this and nobody got out of line. Can you imagine? And the conclusion is people were in a fear-driven stance. They were watching people die with the vaccine right in front of them and they still went ahead and took their shot.
The most bizarre times. I mean, talk about mass formation psychosis right there.
Yeah.
That the propaganda and the fear, it's just astounding, utterly astounding. Do you think that we are still in that formation, mass formation to some extent? And what do we need to get out of it moving forward? Especially, I mean, I'm watching the mass formation, you know, in this election cycle. And, you know, you've had some pretty interesting things to say about this election cycle. And I agree with you that the two big guys still aren't talking about it, right? They don't want to talk about this.
It's worse. I mean, it's worse than that. The two big contenders, Trump and Biden, they're the same on the vaccines. You'd think they'd want to distinguish themselves from one another. They're the same on the vaccine. They're vaccine brothers. I mean, this is just, you know, the candidates always want to distinguish themselves, that they're right. going to do some better on some issue. What issue out there is there right in front of us where one could take a different view than another and potentially gain votes? It would be the vaccine. You know, I testified in Congress on January 12, 2024. Just 2 days after Fauci was there.
Yep.
And I cited the Rasmussen survey that was out that day that showed that 53% of Americans believe the vaccines are causing serious side effects,
yeah.
leading to large numbers of deaths. We're talking about the COVID-19 vaccines. So that's the majority of people. And the candidates, you know, and they're people advising them are not paying attention. And I don't know if you saw recently this unforced error made by Trump when he commented on RFK. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What did he say? That RFK, his position on vaccines was false, and that he'd rather have Biden than RFK because of his position on vaccines? Like, that's crazy.
You know, if you do the math, if let's say the Rasmussen survey is correct, that 53% of Americans know it's a problem, you take that piece of information, and then the COVID states data saying 25% of us didn't take a vaccine. Most of us who did not take the vaccine, it was for a reason.
Right.
It like really affected our life, and then we lost our jobs or lost our radio shows and things like this. So you have 25% there. Now you have the survey done a couple years ago now on the Zogby survey showing about 15% of Americans have had serious side effects with the vaccine, and the CDC VSafe data, which shows 7.7% had side effects so bad they were hospitalized or had to go to the ER. When you look at that Venn diagram, you could easily get to 40% of the voter bloc. Let's just say 40 for argument's sake, where the vaccine would be a big issue.
Oh yeah.
So Trump or Biden have an opportunity. And so, you know, I went on the show with Laura Trump, who is married to Eric. So it's Trump's daughter-in-law. She's now positioned in the RNC, if you're following that. And I told Laura, I said, listen, Trump could simply say that he was lied to by Fauci. Mm-hmm. He did his job. He was executing on what he needed to do to bring the vaccines forward, but he was lied to by Fauci, and that all the safety problems, they unfolded during the Biden administration.
Yeah.
And he can say, listen, when I get in office, I'm going to establish a commission. We're going to review what happened, and we're going to make decisions about the vaccines and make this right for America. All he has to do is say that. Because I'm pretty sure what he's been told by his advisors is don't admit you're wrong.
Right.
Because, you know, you're not strong enough to sustain the attack. I think he's told that he's not strong enough. And you know, if I could advise him, I'd tell him, listen, you're a lot stronger than what you think. You're not as weak as you think. You can handle this. You can admit you're wrong. And, you know, that's what big, strong people do. You can do this.
And the truth will set you free.
Yeah,
Mr. Trump.
It's okay to admit you're wrong.
Yeah.
Most of this didn't happen on his watch. And I think it's a combination of who's advising him. By the way, he's being advised now by who's the main person? Is it Sally Wise, I believe? His main
some lady. Who is from all accounts that I've seen is super progressive. But you know, this is par for the course for Trump. It's always the advisors. He's always done dirty by his advisors, right? And he always falls back with that. I don't see him changing course. He might have to change course. They both might have to change course because of what we're seeing with New York Times. That's a big signal. To see the Cuomo brothers come out and do such a complete 180, which I believe is actually a limited hangout. I believe they're talking about this because they have to talk about this, not because they want to talk about this. And I think that's going to be the case with Trump and Biden. The only way we're going to get them to talk about this is by continuing to force them into a corner and force the issue. Mm. And then we work it out. But I agree with you. The majority of his constituency, I think, would accept an apology. We got it wrong. You know, my advisors you know, told us that, you know, I think we all kind of know, like we've all known this for quite some time, but that would be a step forward. From my perspective, that's a win. If we can get these fellows talking about it, that's a win in and of itself. And we just need to keep pushing.
Right. But Shannon, let me ask you this. The one thing Trump has said, he's been consistent, that he would never have mandated the vaccines. What do you think this world would look like, or the United States would look like, if the vaccines were never mandatory?
I mean, they weren't technically ever mandatory, except for the military and certain elements of the federal government. It was the corporations, the hospital institution, or the medical institutions that were forcing their employees as a condition of employment. So if, you know, so it's true. I mean, Biden never really mandated them. Trump never really mandated them. I mean, I felt like that was one of the biggest successes of the medical freedom movement, is that they wanted to mandate them. Believe me, I think that they wanted to put them on the childhood schedule. They wanted to make them a condition of kids going to school. They wanted to force school kids. I believe all that was on the table. I think they wanted that. It was buffered by voices like yours and the medical freedom community, who were relentless, not only in their refusal to be vaccinated, that 25%, but also their refusal to step down off this issue. So if there were mandates, I mean, this would be a whole different ballgame. If there were actual mandates, we would not have this group.
Yeah, I think what you're thinking of is forced vaccination. I thought we were almost going to get to that. But, yeah. You know, when the Biden had the Biden mandates, there were five of them.
Yep.
It was my testimony and that of Jay Bhattacharya from Stanford. That went all the way to the Supreme Court.
Woo!
Supreme Court overturned four out of the five Biden mandates.
Amazing.
Okay, so that's important. So you're right. It was never mandatory for the employers over 100 employees. It was getting close.
Yes.
And what was left was mandatory vaccination for healthcare workers. Right. We had Houston Methodist down in Texas take that all the way to the Supreme Court, where they prevailed.
Hmm.
And then in a year later, Houston Methodist, even though there's still lots of COVID around, they said, oh, we're dropping the mandates. And then it was several months after that, that, and again, I was involved in this, where the Texas Supreme Court bans COVID vaccine mandates in the state of Texas, period. Hmm. That you can't even do it, you know, electively as an employer.
Amazing. Yeah.
So, well, it's because how can we allow any company to mandate the vaccine that could kill someone in our state?
Right. Right. I mean, it's the basic issue of body sovereignty. Right. Yeah. You know, I think that, well, I'm glad that RFK Jr. is in the fray. I think that just his presence as a third candidate elevates the issues that are important to us. And it does have the impact of forcing this issue on the two major political candidates, which to me is a win, right? I think in this crazy electoral season, my mission is to keep the medical as best we can, you know, try to keep this medical freedom community together, because I think it is the freedom movement globally. This is where it starts. And then also, you know, my mission is as best as I can with my platform, keep this issue out in the forefront and keep hammering away at this. And let's get these presidents, both of them, Biden and Trump, to acknowledge what their administrations did, how they contributed to the creation of these vaccines, the deployment of these vaccines, the rollout, and then to your point, Biden's attempted mandates that almost went through, but we weren't able to get. We're going to go to break in a moment. We're talking to Dr. Peter McCullough. We only have a couple more minutes left. I definitely want to make sure that we respect your time and let you go on time here. But when we come back, we are going to continue this discussion. And I want to talk about the future and also new rhetoric coming out about the bird flu, right? Are we going to hit once again? Here we go. You can hear, you know, the war drums beating. They're getting ready to ramp this up, the fear campaign on this new bird flu. Are they going to be successful in deploying similar protocols, attempted protocols that they deployed during COVID-19? We'll see. We're going to get Dr. McCullough's thoughts on that in a moment when we return right here on the Shannon Joy Show. Welcome back, everyone, to the final segment of the Shannon and Joy Show. Today, we are joined by Dr. Peter McCullough. He is America's doctor. You can find him on Twitter. He is a prolific tweeter. And also, his Substack is Courageous Discourse. Pick up his book, The Courage to Face COVID-19, Relentlessly on the Trail for Truth, regarding a whole host of issues, the lockdowns, social distancing, masking, vaccines, now even the childhood vaccine schedule, even the concept of mass vaccination. Really fascinating discussion with you today, Dr. Peter McCullough. Let's talk about bird flu. We're hearing the rhetoric ramp up once again. They're going to try it, right? What are your thoughts? What are we hearing? What's on the horizon?
Avian influenza, it's termed bird flu or H5N1 influenza, has been around for decades. It's largely a virus in poultry. It occasionally jumps to man with people handling the chickens. We've had about 800 cases worldwide, about a 30 to 40% mortality rate when it does jump to humans, largely in underdeveloped countries, late presentation, undernourished people potentially get it. I've looked at the fatal cases reported in New England Journal of Medicine, and almost all of them, it looked like, very low levels of care. I'm not sure anybody would die of bird flu in the United States today, modern levels of care. But having said that, there was a case of a man who got bird flu in Colorado 2 years ago. And the context was one of the birds got bird flu and they tested it, and he was ordered to destroy all the birds, like incinerate them. It's called culling. So he was trying to incinerate all the birds, and then he got the bird flu. So he got it. That was in 2022. And now this year in 2024, a man in West Texas develops conjunctivitis, very red eyes. It's unclear why they tested him, but it was actually avian influenza. And then Ag Commissioner Sid Miller orders, millions of hens to be incinerated out in West Texas at the
chicken massacre in Texas. What the heck?
So, the nation's largest egg supplier, and these birds. So this culling is a very perverse thing, because if you just allow the birds to get bird flus, they'll get through it. The vast majority get natural immunity. In fact, that's a major theme of the USDA research at the National Poultry Research Center in Athens, Georgia, is, can the birds just get natural immunity? Well, what's happened over time is this culling, the farmers get government reimbursement if they do this. So it's not, so this is a perverse incentive. And then to make matters worse, there's gain of function research going on at University of Wisconsin on bird flu, also at the National Poultry Research Center in Athens, Georgia. A disturbing trend that vaccinating the animals is making it worse. So the Chinese have been vaccinating the animals, the chickens, now for since 1993. So a chicken, if the chicken gets bird flu, it doesn't sterilize the virus. The bird just can spread it around to more birds. And so, so the vaccine makes it worse. Jeez. The French started to do this. Actually, last summer, bird flu got into mallard ducks. Remember, mallard ducks are the ducks that fly all over. I know where you are in Rochester, you guys have tons of ducks.
We sure do.
So it got into mallard ducks and spread more. So it forced the U.S. to ban French duck last year. Okay. Now we have signaling after signaling. The Global Vaccine Alliance back in 2021 said bird flu is disease X. The WHO has had multiple warnings. Bird flu is going to be serious. They're having briefings. The World Economic Forum has put statements out on bird flu. CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovation, actually has a self-replicating messenger RNA vaccine for bird flu in development. And then we didn't realize this, but now listen, the FDA approved a human bird flu vaccine, which is an antigen-based vaccine, in 2021. CSL is the company, and that company has a self-replicating messenger RNA vaccine for humans. Now, FDA Commissioner Robert Califf was on Capitol Hill this week saying, we're ready for bird flu to jump into man. So at McCullough Foundation, our epidemiologist, Nick Hulscher, has been studying this. He's identified that the strain that jumped in demand. It also jumped into a mammal down here in Florida, came out of the lab in Athens, Georgia. It was gain of function research. Yes, so here we go again, gain of function research. So at the wellness company, we're way ahead of this. We've already expanded our contagion kit to have an antiviral offering. It already has budesonide in there. We're advising people, animal handlers now, to use you know, just a saline solution, a few drops of iodine, do an iodine-based nasal spray you know, before and after handling the animals, a few drops of iodine and scope and Listerine. It's very effective, by the way. Iodine kills avian influenza.
Yeah, I mean, very common sense, reasonable reactions to what... I'm still flabbergasted over the whole gain of function research happening in Athens, Georgia. Like, how is it? Because prior to COVID, they had to go all the way to Wuhan to do gain of function research, because technically in the US, it was illegal to do gain of function research. So they had to go to the, so how are they getting around this now?
No, let me correct you on this. Not illegal. It's just that under the Obama administration, there was a pause on federal funding of gain-of-function.
Okay.
You still could do it if it was funded by USDA or by Gates Foundation or something. And by the way, the research director at the Athens, Georgia lab, she's a former director for the Gates Foundation.
Of course she is. These people are megalomaniac. Mad scientists.
Well, quickly, what I think is going to go on, I think it's a limited threat to human beings, maybe animal handlers, a wellness company and others. You know, we have an approach. I think it is going to put a constraint on the food supply. We're going to see culling, continued culling of poultry. We may see culling of cattle. When I mean culling, I mean intentionally killing them, not using their meat. We're already seeing scares that bird flu is tested positive in grocery stores. I can tell you, we've looked at this. By the time the animals are, you know, the meat is taken, the virus is dead. So we don't have to worry about those reports that it was in milk.
Jeez.
It's essentially a dead virus. But we are going to see a food scare.
Unbelievable.
And it's going to be due to bird flu.
These government officials and bureaucrats, big tech, big pharma, this cabal that just, I mean, everything but the kitchen sink that they're throwing at we the people, the American people. So to your point, there is no need to cull. All right. These types of viruses can go through a population of animals and then they gain immunity and then it's, you know, off to the races. Yet here we go again with these, you know, sociopathic is the only way that I can describe these people in positions of power, going in now and creating new problems that aren't even there. Let's add that on to the death toll that is mounting from the massive COVID-19 vaccines, the turbo cancers, the myocarditis, the suppressed immune systems. Let's add that to the financial collapse that's coming with inflation. Talk about food inflation. If you think your grocery bill is high now, wait until you realize that the federal government has purposefully reduced supply of food items. I mean, they really want us eating the bugs, don't they? I mean, they really want us to eat the bugs.
You know, you can't make this up, but when we have statements coming out of the WHO and now the FDA saying bird flu is coming, just like, you know, they were telling us COVID was coming. My problem is I wasn't paying attention. I am paying attention now.
Absolutely. I don't think they're going to get away with it in the way that they used to. You know, very telling. Andrew Cuomo was on with Lena Wen. Because you see, they've seen the light too, Dr. Peter McCullough. They now realize that, you know, they were wrong about everything. And it's really amazing, says Andrew Cuomo, that everyone voluntarily went along with all of his COVID-19 protocols. But he warned Lena Wen, that this time around, if this ever happens again, he said the people are not going to be as submissive as they were during COVID-19. And while it's highly irritating, I also see that as a really great thing. Like that, even if they throw this fear porn at us now, even if they try to push us down this road, and yeah, they're going to try to get farmers to cull and you know, take out these poor animals, by the way. You know, I think the dynamic is slightly different. If we keep pushing out the truth and having people like you out there, you know, ringing the bell of truth every day, I think that that they will not be as successful as they were before. And if hopefully at some point we'll make it so that they can never be successful with this stuff ever again. Right.
Well, let's hope so. We can, you know, end on that hopeful note. It's been really just an incredible storyline that we're in our fifth year of this.
It's
in our fifth year of this. That's a long period of time. My general read is we're not going to be saved by any president. We're not going to be saved by any senator. This is about people saving themselves, people seeking the truth, following you, Shannon, following, you know, the guests that you have on your show, as we continue to apply our scholarship and our analysis to bring the right interpretations. So we have not been wrong on any of this.
I know, it's insane. 20,000 lawsuits. By the way, 20,000 lawsuits. I had an attorney on last week who is representing Deb Conrad here in mm-hmm. New York, and in all different capacities about COVID-19 vaccine injury and death. And that's the, you know, all of it's the independent broadcasting. It's, you know, your book and the work that you do with John Leake and the Substack, and it's everything they're doing over at Rumble and, you know, the Bobby Kennedy campaign, right? Does he have a shot? Who the heck knows? But at least he's there with a third option, right? To the other two political factions, which I think is good. I think people need more choices, not fewer. And all of those things together, I think is, it, you know, hopefully there are enough of us. And I think that there are, that we can finally get to a tipping point where it's just an avalanche of truth and people wake up, and then we get to the very important part of rebuilding, right? Holding the right people accountable, and rebuilding this country, rebuilding the health of the individual American. And you're right at the forefront of that. So thank you so much for everything you do. So as I'm going to let you go, please, if there's anything else you need to get off your chest, or if you want to direct people to anywhere, any fun new projects that you're doing or initiatives, obviously we want to talk about the wellness company. And you guys know, I think, yeah, Get Well with Shannon Joy. So I have a portal. I'm an affiliate with the wellness company. And so you guys can get any of their emergency products. You can get any of their products. If you go to Get Well with Shannon Joy at that portal, you'll get 10% off if you use the promo code. So let's make sure to do that. But yeah, anything that you want to end on, Peter, as we close out the week with this important conversation.
Well, let's just again emphasize, join the wellness company as a member. Get on the distribution list. If you're a member, you can go through Shannon's portal. Then, you know, we're working on all kinds of benefits. One of these emergency kits, there's four of them. People have asked, well, what do you do when you actually use one of the medicines? Well, if you're a member, we want to replace it for you. You know, we want this kind of supply. So that's very important. You get, important discounts off the nutraceutical supplements, instant access to telemedicine. Most people are keeping it for a backup. I'm a member myself. It's just a smart thing to do.
Yep.
Make sure you check out my foundation, McCullough, FND.org, McCullough Foundation is fully operational. We have our first epidemiologist hired. We've done great work in four major domains. One is investigative scholarship. Okay. The second is the media, like today. The third is justice. I'm an expert in over 100 cases pro bono. I recently just helped a fired nurse in a Pennsylvania hospital get a settlement because they wrongfully fired her for not accepting a religious exemption.
Amazing. Thank you.
And, you know, believe me, that took I've never met her. Oh. It took an extraordinary amount of time with a report, a grueling deposition, and everything else. And God bless her, she got some justice. And then the fourth area is public policy. And so I am constantly advising, certainly the House, the Senate, organizations all over the world. I'm on a standing committee in Arizona now. We're making great progress. McCullough Foundation, again, www.mcculloughfnd.org is tax deductible. Donations. Be sure you follow me on Courageous Discourse Substack. Over 90% of the content free of charge. Sign up. You get every day, you get the graphical abstracts and the updates. My book, Courage to Face COVID.com, five-star bestseller, banned from Amazon for 12 days.
And stop it, sure right why. Now.
Yeah, for censorship. You know, the book we had at your program, and Amazon finally capitulated under tremendous public pressure. It was like a modern day book burning. Why our book? They said it had offensive content. Shannon, I don't even cuss.
I know you don't.
No profanity, no nudity, no hate speech. There was no offensive content. Yeah. So it was simply fraudulent. And you know, what people did on social media is they took pictures of the brown shirts under Nazi Germany, burning books in Hitler's Germany, and they replaced the swastika with little Amazon insignias.
Wow, good awesome. For you, good
Amazon
for you.
Amazon caved, and then of course, book sales soared after that. Make sure you go to my podcast, America Out Loud Talk Radio, McCullough Report, 2 p.m. On Saturdays and Sundays, and it's on the Apple iHeart Podcast Network. I'm like you, I'm diverse across these platforms, you know, because we need some redundancy here. We don't know what's going to happen. I'm predicting Missouri versus Biden. It actually is going to be decided in favor of government censorship. Mm-hmm. And it's going to create us, it's going to make you even probably much more of a power figure in independent media, because that's where people are going to gravitate to.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the truth is offensive to tyrants and to totalitarians for sure. And, you know, that is a stunning prediction. I can't disagree with you, Dr. McCullough. I listened to some of the oral arguments on the Supreme Court regarding Missouri v. Biden and was not optimistic with what I heard. So we're going to have to fight like we've never fought before to maintain our First Amendment rights. That's going to be the next battle. And I agree with you. You know, I think when you've been completely deplatformed, when you've been censored, when you've been attacked for standing up for the truth, it has the impact of this desire to build like little safety nets everywhere. And that's kind of what I do. That's why I platform so many places, because I'm like, well, they can't yank me off of all of them at the same time, or at least they'd have to have a real serious conspiracy hatched up in order to do it. So I think that that's a really great strategy. And you really are. You have all these different areas that you are impacting. Completely brilliant. I'm so, so blessed to call you a friend of the Shannon Joy Show, and so, so blessed for your tireless work. And it is tireless. You don't stop. And I'm sure your lovely wife, Maha, wants you to stop occasionally, but these are extraordinary times, and you certainly are doing your civic duty there. So thank you to your wife for supporting you in everything that you do. And thank you to you very, very, very much. We are so appreciative.
Thank you.
All right. You guys have a great day. Have a great weekend. All right. Get out there, get some sunshine, spend time with your family. Make sure that you are going to, you know, connecting spiritually with, you know, whatever it is that you do to connect. But we're really thankful for Peter McCullough. We're thankful for all of our sponsors. Before we go, I want to briefly talk about Connecta Mobile. So thankful for Connecta Mobile. Once again, this is a company run by people who are conservatives, who believe in the First Amendment, believe in the Fourth Amendment, and want to protect it for you and for their customers. They have amazing, amazing options for security. If you are concerned that your phone and your communications are being surveilled, are being hacked. I mean, we know who the bad guys are out there. We have the federal government, their tendency to scoop up metadata from our private conversations and our phones. Also, we have the massive corporations who will use your data and your information to sell you things or even for more nefarious purposes. And then we have the common hackers, people who will just go in, hack your phone, and use your personal information to conduct criminal acts. And so in all of those areas, because all of our information is on our phones, it's more important than ever that you have your phones connected. And that is the privacy suite that is offered by Connecta Mobile. So you need to learn about this. You need to learn what you can do to protect yourself. And they have plans starting as little as $35 a month. They also come with a free phone. So please go to phone123.com/joy. That is phone123.com/joy to learn all about your options. Thank you guys so much for being with us today on the Shannon Joy Show. We will be back on Monday to do it all again right here.